Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Genesis 28, 10 through 19a. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I find the lives of biblical characters very intriguing, and Jacob is no exception. He's a very intriguing person to me. I think it's because so many of us are a lot like Jacob. I mean, for Jacob, life is truly a fight. He's got a very unique personality, and I think we learn through the life of Jacob a lot about how God works with us as we live our lives. He uses everything about us, our personality, the situations in our life, even our weaknesses. And God uses all of that to help bring us into his plan and his purpose for us in this world. And I think we see in the life of Jacob that God has a unique plan for him and also for us. Each human being, God has a unique plan for. God shapes us through our challenges, and he has a purpose for our lives. I think we can see that in the writings of other places in Scripture. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, look that up. It says, God has designed you from his very own special blueprint plans. I've heard it expressed that way by one commentary, that God has blueprint plans that he designed you from. And we can see that Jacob and his twin, Esau, were designed by God for his unique plan. The whole story of Jacob in the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 25, if you want to read about the very beginning of his life. Isaac was married to Rebekah, and Rebekah was barren. And we're told in Genesis chapter 25 that Isaac prayed, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. And those twins were Jacob and Esau. It's very interesting because these two twins, just like we see in their later life, while they were in the womb, were fighting with each other. So they have this situation where Rebekah was barren, and Isaac prayed, and God answered the prayer, and they got these twins that Rebekah could feel fighting. in her womb, which is very interesting. And we're told in Genesis 25, 21 through 23, that Rebecca inquired of the Lord about what was happening. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. We're told when they were born that the first one came out red, that was Esau. All his body like was a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Wow, what a picture. Jacob holding onto the heel of Esau. And we find out that Jacob was very different than Esau. Esau was a hunter. He liked to go out and get wild animals and bring it back. And his father loved to eat the wild animal meat. And so Esau was his father, Isaac's favorite. And then we're told that Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. And he was very different. He had smooth skin. He wasn't an outdoorsman at all. And he, for some reason, wanted to steal Esau's birthright. We don't really know why he wants that, but probably has to do with status and his place in the family. He thinks if he gets the blessing that it will bypass Esau. And in fact, it seems like that's what happens. But he's deceptive. You know, the name Jacob means deceptive or guile, like you're a person with a hook, like a fish hook. And he was manipulative. And if you continue to read the story, which I don't have time to go into, you'll see all the ways Jacob was a deceptive person. And when Esau found out that Jacob had stolen his blessing by deceiving Isaac, he deceived Isaac into thinking that he was Esau by putting wool on his arms. And so, but his voice was different than Esau. And so Isaac was a little skeptical, but he finally believed that, yeah, this is Esau, and he gave him the blessing of the birthright. And that was very troubling to Esau, made him angry. And so Rebecca told Jacob, you need to leave. You need to go stay with my brother Laban, and I'll tell you when it's safe to return. So Jacob packs up the whole family, and they're on their way. And when they are in this journey, they camp, and Jacob is very tired, and he takes a rock and uses a rock as his pillow. And that's when he had this dream of this ladder, and these angels are ascending and descending, and God is at the top of this ladder. And he wakes up and he says, surely God was in this place and I didn't even know it. I love this story because it's the first experience that Jacob has with God, where God actually intervenes into his life and shows him that he is involved in Jacob's life. This ladder or stairway that Jacob was dreaming about, he thought was some kind of gateway to heaven. He did not understand his dream fully, but he saw angels ascending and descending. And this was clearly God showing Jacob that God was active, an active participant in his life, that God was involved in his life. And Jacob just felt like everything was ordinary. He thought he had to make things happen and he used his manipulation to get things to happen. But we're told that after he has this dream, he sets up this stone, a monument, and he pours oil on it, and he makes it a special holy place. He consecrates it, and he calls it Bethel. Calls this area Bethel, which means house of God. And we're told in later verses than the one that we read that it used to be called Luz until Jacob changed it to Bethel. Luz just means a place to live. See, what we have is a story of ordinary Jacob, not aware that God was very present and real and active and working in the ordinary. Sometimes our life just seems mundane and routine, and we seem isolated from others right now because of the pandemic, and it can get to feel pretty ordinary. You know, the sometimes on your free day, if you have a free day, you have shopping to do or you have other things to do, but there's not a lot of things to do with people or events to go to. It's just ordinary. And I love this story because it's telling us, don't be fooled. God is in your ordinary place, and he's acting and moving and creating, and he's using everything about you to bring you to his purposes for your life. And all we have to do is work with him and seek to be a willing participant with him. But that's a process. And it took Jacob a long time to go through that process. He was actually 20 years in that process before he left Laban's house. And when he left, he was a broken man, but he wasn't broken in spirit. He was broken in will. And by that time, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, because he was now the one whom God was going to bring about this wonderful nation and through whom the Messiah was going to come. In fact, in his dream, the Lord tells him, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. You and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See, he's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus. Because through Jesus, all the families of the earth have been blessed. And he's also told that God is going to be with him and will keep him wherever he goes and bring him back to this land. Now, it's interesting because right after this dream and in the next portion of scripture, he makes a promise to God, a covenant. And he says, if you do keep me and take care of me and give me bread and clothing and bring me back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. He's not saying you're my God right now. He's saying you'll be my God if what you're saying is really true. See, he's not really yet transformed. He's still Jacob. But by the time he leaves Laban's house 20 years later, he's Israel. And there's a whole story around that too I might talk about down the road. But I want to talk about a story with Jesus. There was a man named Nathanael who becomes one of the disciples of Jesus. But Nathanael, whose story is told in John 1, 43 through 51. And in this story, we have Philip, another disciple of Jesus, who's from Bethsaida, and that's the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds this man, Nathanael, and he says to him, we found him. We found the man whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So he's saying, you know, Nazareth is just plain vanilla. Nazareth is just ordinary. How can there be anything so extraordinary as the Messiah coming out of something so ordinary? It's just like what happened with Jacob. You know, Jacob is like, surely God's in this place. But before he had the dream and God speaking to him, it was just ordinary. See, what God is trying to show us is don't be deceived. He's moving and acting in our lives no matter how ordinary life seems. So Philip says to Nathanael, well, why don't you come and see? And so as they're coming to see Jesus, Jesus looks at Nathanael coming towards him, and he says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit. Do you see the play on words there? Deceit is what Jacob means. Israel is the name that Jacob got when God transformed him into the man whose purpose had been revealed and unfolded in his life. And so Israelite, a true Israelite, is saying, you are in a transformed state. I see you the way God sees you, and I see your heart. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? And Jesus says, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. What happened under the fig tree? We don't know. But whatever it was, Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In other words, he's saying, surely the Lord is in this place. And Jesus says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I want to encourage each one of us today to know that God has a unique purpose designed specifically for you, and that he designed you specifically for this purpose, even in your mother's womb, just like Jacob. And you may not have, quote, arrived fully into that purpose. I think it's a whole lifelong process. But surely God is in your place. God is in my place. As ordinary as it might seem, as pandemic as it gets, God is in this place, and he's working and he's moving. And we have a reason to have some joy. We have a reason to have some faith. Consider these things. Look at these scriptures that I've shared and know that God is with you, and look for his hand in your life. God bless.